This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once single points are scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hour number two of the Blitz starts now, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios up over at AM 1340, FM 105.7, FanRunRadio.com. Click that live link to top power bar, friends, over at MyBookie. Also, we got the Periscope up and running, second hour smiles. That's at Fox Sports Knox on Facebook and Twitter. And we got that free 99 Fan Run Radio app. Get all the 12 hours of programming here at Fan Run Radio today, 24/7 in your pocket. But now it's time for a little opening drive and first down. We got a lot of injuries and headlines from the NFL, but I'll turn it over to Ryan. First down.
Alrighty. So around the shield, yeah, there is quite a lot of injuries to get through right here. Everybody's least favorite safety, Jamal Adams, will be out for the rest of the season for the Seahawks.
Do we not like him?
I don't like him. Do you like him?
I think he's an overrated. I heard somebody say an overrated linebacker. But I don't mind him. He never.
I dislike him very much.
I do too. The whole Jets deal. The whole Jets situation. Yeah, he was just such a prick.
He's overpaid.
Yeah. He's definitely overpaid. But I did want the Titans to draft him back in.
Yeah, I wanted my team to get him.
I wanted him so badly. Instead of Corey Davis, I was begging for him all out.
I love the Packers.
He's not going to be there in the secondary for the Seahawks after setting a career high interceptions this year with a whopping 2. And then the Washington football team has a duo out for the rest of the season. We already knew Ryan Fitzpatrick was having some knee injuries. He is officially getting surgery that will end his 2021 season, leading the way for Taylor Heinicke to be able to keep starting and keep that team on a hot streak. But they're losing their borderline number one red zone target, Logan Thomas. He got a knee injury last week in the game. It was feared to be an ACL, MCL tear. Came back more positive, but he still got put on the IR, which is ending his season. And then COVID also struck a couple of different teams right here. Keenan Allen, the reception god for the Chargers. His status for Sunday's game is in question as he was put on the COVID list along with 3 other Chargers. And the Browns are losing David Njoku, one of their tight ends who's had a couple bright moments, not a lot of good targets. He is also going to be out for the Browns this upcoming week. So the NFL, there's a lot of moving parts right here. A lot of teams are getting a little bit weaker on their depth charts. We'll see how it goes. Keep your eyes peeled on those fantasy waiver wires.
Also, Montez Sweat, another guy who just got added to the COVID reserve.
There he is.
And he's unvaccinated, so he has to miss a minimum of 10 days.
Jeez. It's just everybody's dropping like flies, and the Chargers just had to deal with Joey Bosa having to deal with an unvaccinated close contact call. So, seems like this is just the tip of the iceberg for all these.
It seems a little ridiculous that we're still monitoring these guys like this.
It is. It's absurd. Like, yeah. Pump the brakes a little bit.
Like a close call with some, like, come on, guys.
I don't get it. Every day it changes. Every day a bell wings, a variant gets a name.
We do that again?
What? Every time a bell rings, a variant gets a name.
You almost made me spit out my drink.
It's from The Voice. It's a Wonderful Life. Every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings. Every time a bell rings, a variant gets a new name. Second down, Charlie. Still got some trouble down in Gainesville. The wheels fell off there, and they continue to fall.
They potentially got their guy at head coach, but he's got a lot of work to do. Just a week away from National Signing Day. Last night, more bad news for the Gators. 4-star receiver Chandler Smith decommits from Florida. And that's after taking an official visit to Tennessee over the weekend prior. He is the number 32 receiver prospect in the country and could be a big get for Tennessee. You got to feel pretty decent about your chances after he, you know, takes a visit to Tennessee and then almost immediately decommits. But back to Florida, they have now had 10 decommitments in just the last couple weeks. 10. And they now have the 14th best recruiting class. And no, not in the nation. In the SEC, they have the 14th best recruiting class. That is last place. That is behind Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt has a better class than Florida right now per 24/7 composite rankings.
Ugh. Do you think they're gonna lose a lot to transfer to?
Like, yes.
Seems that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they gonna have more issues than we had entering this season? Like, I mean,
no.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Nobody can have as many issues as Tennessee did.
I don't know. Like, if they have a lot of transfer go out, this recruiting class that they have right now, at least when Heupel came in, our recruiting class wasn't 14th in the SEC.
With the way that recruiting is now and the nature that is, you know, the transfer portal as well, I think we're going to see a lot more schools end up in situations like Tennessee did a year ago. You know, that last offseason, Tennessee wasn't the only one to be in a situation like that, suffering through the roster attrition that we had to. There were other schools in that situation too, but I think, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. That is, it's going to continue to be like that every offseason when there's as crazy as coaching carousels as they are, and when, you know, it's as easy to just go pack up and go play somewhere else as it is currently. I mean, you're going to have issues like this consistently.
I mean, looking at their class right now, they still have plenty of room for improvement. They've still got 6 4 stars and then 5 3 stars. But that only puts them at a 178 composite, I guess, total score. Where you look at Vanderbilt, they've got 18 three stars, which puts them about 10 points ahead of Florida. So I don't expect it to stay that way, but still seeing all these decommits can't be a good sign down there in Gainesville.
Surely cannot be great. GP3, third down.
Yeah, moving over to the hockey side of things. The Preds picked up another win last night. Against a surprisingly hot Detroit Red Wings team.
A great young rookie.
Yeah. Roman Josi had a disgusting, filthy goal. And not something you normally see from a defenseman. That's something you see from, like, a Connor McDavid or somebody like that. But, yeah, Preds picked up their 14th win on the season. They're now 14-10-1. They were in second place in the Central – or in the West. No, in the Central, sorry. But the Blues won last night, bumped them to third. But after a pretty rough start to the season, Preds looking like they're on track, getting healthy again, might be able to make a run at the Cup.
Forsberg being back healthy has been huge.
Yeah, Forsberg coming back, I mean, I think he's second on the team in goals, even after that extended absence.
He's been nasty.
Matt Duchesne's finally living up to his billing. Ryan Johansson looks like he's finally getting back to where he was when they went on the Cup run in 2017. So
he was a vital piece then. Yeah. Johansson, I remember that name being called a lot.
Right. Well, yeah, Preds back on track.
There's good. That hockey. Did that hockey. All right, fourth down, I got a honorable mention for a fifth down as well today. But I'm saying the college world. A week after announcing Brian Kelly as the new coach, LSU started losing players too. LSU is losing starting quarterback Max Johnson along with his brother Jake, prize tight end recruit. Max Johnson announced Tuesday that he plans to enter the transfer portal. He's a sophomore and the son of former NFL quarterback and Super Bowl champion Brad Johnson. He emerged as the late starter in the year. Appeared in every game, though, threw 27 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, as LSU went on to be 6-6, 3-5 in the SEC. Also ran for 1 score. Jake Johnson is the number one ranked tight end in the class of 2022, his brother. Also announced he was opening up his recruitment after Ed Orgeron had agreed with LSU to part ways. Kelly, who had the big deal coming in, he's also lost quarterback Miles Brennan, who entered the transfer portal. And now with Brennan and Johnson gone, LSU only has one scholarship quarterback remaining. That's former 4-star prospect Garrett Neusmeyer, a true freshman who's appeared in 4 games this season. If he plays in the Texas Bowl, though, Neusmeyer, he would lose the ability to redshirt this season, costing him a year of eligibility.
When was the last time there's been such a wide-open quarterback transfer landscape? Like we're dealing with right
this
now.
This is unprecedented.
This is
I don't
crazy.
Think this
I mean, because we've only had the portal for what? Now what?
2 years?
Three seasons? This would be the third season? So, like, yeah, I don't think we've seen as many quarterbacks as we have. And we're starting to see, like, at first it seemed like you're seeing guys who, you know, got lost in the depth chart or guys who, you know, want to move back home, things like, or just, you know, get into some legal trouble or, you know, anything, academic trouble. But now you're seeing guys that, you know, starters that decide, hey, I don't want to play for this guy, or hey, it's time for me to go elsewhere. You're seeing a lot of that now, and that's something that's definitely unprecedented.
Who's that biggest impact that's out there right now?
I think it was Jordan Hazelwood, but he already signed with Arkansas.
Yeah. That was that the receiver?
Yeah.
Yeah, from Oklahoma.
I mean, outside of that, you know, Jake Haner, that's also gone.
Quinn
now.
Ewers. That's probably the
biggest. Quinn.
Yeah, he's the number one.
Quarterbacks, yeah, Quinn from Ewers. Wisconsin have, are both
Martinez?
No, Nebraska.
No, Nebraska and Adrian Martinez. It was like Jack Cronin or something like that. Was that Notre Dame?
Jack Cone.
Cone.
Is he
Notre Dame or Wisconsin?
He was at Wisconsin and then transferred to Notre Dame.
I thought I heard talk about him maybe transferring, but I guess if he hasn't yet.
I don't know if he can again. I don't know. Tanner Mordecai is a sneaky good quarterback. He was one of the top, I think, five passers statistically in the country at SMU when Sonny Dykes left. So did he.
Is the kid from Florida State transferring? The one who was at UCF and then transferred?
Mackenzie Milton?
Yeah, Milton.
I don't think he can anymore. Uh-oh. I think that was his last hurrah this past year.
Yeah, I don't know if he's available now.
He's a graduate transfer.
The biggest names out there, though, Eli Ricks from LSU was and is one of the better corners out there. I mean, he's a guy that can come in and start for you day one and probably end up being a day one pick in the NFL draft. Other than that, Jahmyr Gibbs is
He's still on the board.
Projected to Alabama at this point. Hopefully Tennessee can get him.
He's not coming to Tennessee.
Huge, but Zach Evans is still out there, and he's planning on taking an
official
visit.
Dylan Gabriel's out there, UCF, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
he's out there.
I think there's a chance JT Daniels enters the portal.
Maybe.
Yeah. Definitely
a
chance.
At this point, maybe just the draft. I don't know.
Pull the what was the other Jamie Newman?
Yeah,
who transferred to Georgia.
Who transferred to Georgia by force and just
Kingsley,
went to the draft.
Kingsley Swamatea.
Did he get drafted? I don't know.
I don't know if he got drafted late or not.
No, or actually maybe seventh round. Kingsley Swamatea was a highly regarded prospect that went to Oregon, and he left when Cristobal left. But Zach Evans, yeah, he's taking a visit to Tennessee. And
yeah, that would be a huge game.
He's a guy that I've said that I don't want anywhere near our program, that I've said is a cancer. But if he comes and he likes it and Tennessee signs him, you know what? I will trust Josh Heupel because obviously he's, you know, way more informed and knows way more about everything than I ever will. To make that decision that he would be a good fit for this team. So
yeah, I mean, I would take Zach.
If we
Evans
want him, then you know what? I trust Coach Heupel that he has grown as a person and he's someone that he trusts to bring into the program. He was a guy that I wanted to stay away from initially. But yeah, Spencer Rattler, he's still out there. Dylan Gabriel, Marcus Banks from Alabama. We've gotten some. We got an Alabama corner last time around. He's another four-star corner that's in there.
Jamie Newman did not get drafted. There's one of those stories, you know, where opting out definitely didn't help him. If he had probably played that year at Georgia, or
well, he knew he wasn't going to win the starting job. I think that's why he opted out and just decided to prepare for the draft.
Yeah,
maybe so.
You know, two more names. Taj Harris is a receiver from Syracuse that committed to Kentucky and recently decommitted. And then Terrence Lewis was a five-star linebacker committed to Maryland. He was initially committed to Tennessee. Everything happened, he went to Maryland instead. And then when he got there and arrived on campus for camp, they found out that he had an injury in his knee that actually required surgery. He missed the season, and now he's hit the portal. So you wonder, too, if there could be any interest there for him to potentially, you know, enter the world of Tennessee once again.
Hey, there you have it. Last one real quick, though. Bonus fifth down.
Colorado fifth down.
Colorado fifth down. Well, ahead of last night's game, after Sunday night's game, actually, we have found out now, news broke, that Blazers guard C.J. McCollum is out with a collapsed right lung. That's right. He had a CT scan after he was injured in the final quarter of the Blazers' 145-117 loss to the Celtics on Saturday. He was listed probable as with a rib contusion, but after the CT scan was completed, it was revealed that he is He has suffered a collapsed lung and will be out indefinitely. He is one of several injuries now for the struggling Blazers. All the talk about, is Dame going to be able to stay around? Is he going to ask for a trade? Well, he's missed the last four games with lower abdominal tendinopathy. I can't say it. Backup point guard Anthony Simons, former Vol, is also out with a right ankle sprain. And forward Nasir Little, LSU, has missed four games with a left ankle sprain. And Ben McLemore also is out with a bruised hip, along with Cody Zeller and a bruised right quad. Prayers up for CJ McCollum, man. That's huge. The Blazers, who are already having a struggling season, don't know what the future holds for their superstars in Lillard and McCollum, get hit with a big blow there. So there's your opening drive on this hump day, December 8th. On the other side, let's get into a little fact or fiction. Hadn't done that a little bit. Keep it locked here for more of the Blitz. Welcome back to the Blitz. Live here in the fan run White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Chance, Charlie, Ryan, and GP3. Time to do something we hadn't done in a little bit of time. It's been a while. Time to throw it back. Go to a little fact or fiction brought to you today by our friends over at Buckethead Tavern. That's right. Buckethead Tavern is West Hill's premier sports bar and happy hour spot. Enjoy happy hour from noon until 7 days a week, even on football Sundays. Go in, cozy up to the fireplace on these cold nights, cold days. Enjoy your next cocktail or one of the 18 beers on tap. Stop in and try some of the award-winning wings. Get the Hell's Fire. Those are some of the good ones. House-made dressings, pub food with a little gourmet touch added to every bite. Located 8039 Ray Mears Boulevard, or you can call them up at 865-394-9936. Follow them on Facebook or visit BucketheadTavern.com. Follow on Instagram at BucketheadTavern865. All right, guys, time to get into it. Been thinking about it for a couple days now. Time to do a little fact or fiction. There it is. So, first couple ones going to be Vol-oriented. And I got some NFL questions for you guys as well. So, first up, Charlie. Fact or fiction, the Vols are one of the top three teams, basketball Vols, in the SEC.
Oh.
Conference play starts on the 29th against Alabama, who's number 9 in the country right now.
Are they right now, or... is this like, will they?
Will they be?
Will they just
will they
be this
will
season?
They be? Will the Vols be one of the top three teams in the SEC in basketball?
So to frame the question for yes. Fact or fiction, you have to say the Vols will finish in the
top
three.
Okay. That's what fact. I said the first time. And he was like, well, are they right now or will they be? Yeah, the Vols will finish.
I'll go ahead and say...
it's tough SEC this year. Very talented.
Top three in the standings?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not tournament. Fiction.
Yeah, not. I don't worry about tournament.
Actually, no, I'll say fact. I'll be optimistic here. I think they're right around. I think they're anywhere from that, like, really anywhere from, like, 1 to 6.
Ryan?
I think it's going to be fiction.
Oh!
Just because this, yeah, like you said, the SEC is really good this year, and I want to be proven wrong on this. I really do, but I think these teams, especially what we've seen Alabama do and a couple of the other good boys, it's going to be tough.
All right, I guess I'll go next. I'm going to save GP3 for last. I'm with Charlie, man. I'm going to say fact. The SEC is very tough, but I feel like whenever conference play comes around, they'll have even more games under their belt. You'll have an Arizona game. Under your belt non-conference, you also have the Memphis game that's going to be played in Nashville. I think that's going to help you weather the storm. You know, the early game against Villanova, North Carolina, this game versus Texas Tech is going to be a teaching moment. SEC's tough, though. Like, Arkansas, 9-0. LSU, 8-0, damn it. Alabama, 7-1. Kentucky, 7-1. Auburn and Texas A&M, also 7-1 ahead of you right now.
And even Florida, I mean... has looked good all Damn but it. One just terrible, terrible
I
game.
I need to go back and say fiction. No, I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to say fact. I think that when it's all said and done.
And Mississippi State looks good.
Damn it, Charlie, stop.
And Ole Miss.
Basketball Vols will be one of the top three teams in the SEC when it's all said
and done. And A&M looks pretty good.
Oh, man. Fiction! No, fact. GP3?
Right. You know my answer. It's fiction.
I want to hear why, though.
Well, I think Alabama, Arkansas, and Kentucky are clearly ahead of you right now. Okay. Now, do I think Tennessee can work things out possibly and work the way there? Sure, but from what I've seen now, I don't see them as a top three team in the SEC. But I also think teams like Auburn and LSU are also better than you right now. And, well, LSU might not even be better than you. You just can't beat LSU in basketball for some reason. And so I think there's five teams that potentially can finish ahead of you. And then you have the likes of Mississippi State making a come up. Texas A&M does look light years ahead of where they were last year.
But I would look at Arkansas' schedule and I say, if Tennessee played that schedule right now too, they might be 9-0. They played Little Rock, Central Arkansas, Charlotte, Penn, Northern Iowa, Mercer, Gardner Webb. Their toughest games so far, two games, have been Kansas State and Cincinnati.
No, they've played a cupcake of a schedule.
Yeah, Arkansas has played a cupcake of a schedule to be 9-0.
I just think that going off of what they did last year coming into this season, I don't see how you could put Tennessee ahead of them right
now. I also
now.
Believe LSU's played a pretty cupcake schedule, too.
But Will Wade hasn't.
LSU is number two in the net rankings for what it's worth, which isn't much because Wyoming's also like 14. But.
Yeah. Will Wade just has our number. I don't know why it is.
He does.
We just can't beat him.
I agree with you there.
And Auburn.
And then, of course, Bruce Pearl.
Bruce has Rick Barnes' number. We all know about that.
I mean, again, I think like there's going to be a lot of two-way, three-way, four-way ties all around up, like towards the top of the conference, and you could finish anywhere from like 1-6.
Yeah. All right, next question. The Vols will make the NCAA tournament, March Madness. I'm going to say fact. I think they will make the NCAA tournament. I mean, earlier he was talking about, you don't know if they're going to make the tournament. They will make the NCAA tournament.
They will make the tournament. This isn't a hard question.
Yeah, right? that's a fact.
That's
man.
Why I was like, why is this making it so hard?
There's I understand the question. I was like, does anyone actually think that's fiction?
Well, earlier, GP3, I want to see what I'm actually gauging him on this one, probably more so than the two of you, because earlier he acted like, you know, sky was falling a little bit and they may not make the tournament. But yeah, I think that's a big fact. They're one of the, you know, the 60 plus teams that will make the tournament. Now, am I maybe backing up from they'll at least make the Sweet 16? Maybe. I think they have a lot of work to do to be able to be one of the top 16 teams in the country, but they will make the tournament fact. Charlie, I'm assuming you're fact.
Yeah, they'll be a four-seed or better game.
Yeah, there is definitely a fact. They're one of the top 68 teams.
And GP3.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's fact, but I think they're around five, like a five-seed. I don't think they get into the top four.
All right, switching over to the Shield. The Arizona Cardinals are a legit Super Bowl contender. Fact or fiction? I'm going to say fiction. I still think that something's going to happen to where they'll make the playoffs, and they might even be one of the top seeds in the NFC. I just don't believe in them long term. I think Kyler Murray gets hurt because we've seen him get hurt because of his, you know, his, I wouldn't say helter-skelter type of play, but like he runs outside the pocket. He's a running quarterback at times. So he might get hurt. And I just don't really believe in this team to go the entirety of the season and to stay as dominant as they are right now. Hopkins has gotten hurt this year, too. Chase Edmonds is out. They have a lot of things that could go wrong for them. So I'm going to say fiction. They are not a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
I'm going to go ahead and say fact on this one for the Cardinals, just because when I think of Super Bowl contenders, that means who are going to be the four teams representing the championship games. So the top two teams of each AFC and NFC conference.
Absolutely.
So I think they are a contender. I won't say that they'll be in the Super Bowl, but they'll definitely be in contention because they'll definitely make it to one of the later rounds in the playoff. Because they've proven that this year, even with the injuries, because they still had a winning record even without your MVP caliber quarterback and one of the best wide receivers in the league.
Charlie.
You know, I just think it's almost impossible to
say. They had a tough rest of the way.
It's almost impossible to say fiction here just because they're the number one seed in the NFC this late in the season. Yeah, they're Super Bowl contenders. Now, I don't think that they will make the Super Bowl, nor do I think they will really even win their first playoff game. I think they're a one playoff game and done kind of team. I don't know if their style of play is as suitable for the playoffs. I don't trust the health of Kyler Murray on a consistent basis. And I think generally with teams like this, usually playoff experience matters. And Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray and most of this team have none. So this is the kind of, you know, this is the year that you have that breakout year. You get to the playoffs, but you lose without the experience. And then
next year
with that experience, with you know, more maturity, you can make a run.
And they got a tough stretch the next five games. They play the Rams. They'll play the Lions, which, hey, Lions won last week. They might could beat them. But then they'll play the Colts, the Cowboys, and the Seahawks to finish their season. That's not too easy on them, and I'm with you guys. All right, GP3?
I do think they're legitimate Super Bowl contenders. I think the Packers right now are probably the biggest threat to them in the NFC. You could argue the Rams, but they've been playing pretty poorly as of late. I think they're clearly the second best team in the NFC right now. And if everybody can stay healthy, especially Kyler Murray, I don't see why they can't get a rematch against the Packers and possibly the NFC Championship and then make that run to the Super Bowl.
All right. Last one before we get out of this segment. The Patriots. They are a legitimate threat to win the Super Bowl. Same kind of question. I'm going to say fact on this one. I think they're for real, man. I think what Bill Belichick has done with a rookie quarterback and how he has made adjustments. Bill Belichick, one of the best people in all of coaching, and especially NFL, with his adjustments. They went out. They got a bunch of new guys on defense. They bolstered their offensive line. And they're playing pretty damn good football, and I think he can coach Mac Jones and the rest of those guys to the Super Bowl. I really do. Ryan?
I think this is a fact, too, and I'm mainly saying it's a fact because you don't know what you're going to get with every other AFC team. All the teams that we thought would be good in the AFC have slipped up or looked really bad, had some sort of unfortunate injury situation, but with the Patriots, you know what you're going to get. You know you're going to have a good coach. You know you're going to be playing tough. That defense is going to be there. The red sleeves are going to pressure your quarterback. But that's – I'm not saying it's, I believe, in the Patriots' offense.
They just manhandled the Bills.
Yeah. I mean, that's my point right there pretty much is the AFC. It's like Forrest Gump said, life's a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get because that's what every other team has been showing besides the Patriots this year. So it is a fact. They'll definitely be in playoff contention.
All right. GP3?
I'm going fiction on this. I think this stretch that the Patriots are on is completely overblown and, you know, just not as impressive as everybody's making it out to be. You go back to when this started. It started with a win against the Jets. I mean, everybody beats the Jets except for the Titans this season. And then they get a good win against the Chargers. I'll give them that. But then they beat the Panthers, who had nobody at the time. They beat the Browns, who had nobody at the time. They beat the Falcons. That's not impressive. They beat the Titans B team when they had everybody on their offensive side out with injury. And then they beat the Bills, who have been awful the last couple of weeks, and then also played in a 50-mile-per-hour wind storm, which very limited the Bills' offense. I just think it's like they've caught a ton of breaks. Credit to them for winning the breaks, but I don't think they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. I think they've just gotten lucky.
All right, and Charlie, to finish it off.
Yeah, I'm with GP3 here. I'm going to go fiction. And it's so hard to figure this team out because, yes, they're winning games when other AFC teams are struggling to. Yes,
they're
on this
teams.
Win streak. Yes, they're beating good teams. Yes, they're 6-0 on the road this year. All those things are so impressive and all should be indicators that, yes, they are a Super Bowl contender. But, I mean, if you just look at these wins individually, you know, the Bills game, they had one big run and they were able to drive for 7 more points, and the Bills completely just blew opportunity after opportunity, drop passes, fumbles, whatever else. You know, you look at that Titans game, the Titans, they also blew chances and they had their B team. Then you know, you beat the Falcons, you beat the Case Keenum Browns, you beat the Panthers, you beat an up and down Chargers team. Like, yes, some of those wins are impressive, but it's just kind of a question is you know, how much of it is lucky breaks on a consistent basis, and how much of it is the Patriots are creating these breaks, and that's why they keep getting these breaks. I don't know. But I do know that I don't trust a team with Mac Jones in his rookie year at quarterback and your primary weapons at the receiver position being Kendrick Bourne, Nelson Agholor, and Jacoby Myers to win a Super Bowl.
Hey, good stuff by you guys. That was Fact or Fiction today, brought to you by our friends over at Buckethead Tavern, 8039 Ray Mears Boulevard, across from the Target. Visit them today. On the other side, let's go ahead and jump into some NBA action. We haven't talked about that much. Keep it locked here for more of the Blitz. Frosty the Welcome back to the Blitz. Is a Christmas time. You guys been watching Christmas movies?
I love Christmas movies.
What's your favorite? This is good. You know, forget all the sports right now. What's your favorite Christmas movie?
Yeah, I think we could all use a break.
I could use a... Yeah, let's take a break from the sports right here as we end the show with two more segments. What is the GOAT Christmas movie for you guys? I'll start off with Ryan, because Charlie's answer always makes me mad. Because he's never seen any of like the classic ones.
What does he say, like Die Hard?
Don't you start talking about
that. I love Die Hard.
I actually just Googled Christmas movies.
I love Die Hard.
I love Die Hard, too. Honest.
And I will fight anybody who says it's not a Christmas movie.
But I know a lot of people make that argument that it's not a Christmas movie. It most definitely is a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie.
Sorry, Ryan. We just hijacked
the Yakutami.
You're all good. I love Elf. Mainly because Will Ferrell, one of my favorite comedic actors. And the thing that I really love about movies, if they make me laugh, and I feel like a lot of Christmas movies, yeah, they're wholesome and nice, but I need to giggle a little bit, you know?
Gotta giggle.
Like, you gotta giggle.
I agree.
And Elf gives it to you. And it's one of the most quotable. Like, everybody knows at least one line from it. Like, you know, like, there's four main food groups.
You're an angry elf.
Candy, candy canes, candy corn, and syrup. Like, you know, like, come on.
I went back and, as we're doing this, I was going through some notes. Actually, side note, Charlie, you remember the whole Top Shot stuff we were doing? I can't find any of my credentials for that. So I just got NFTs out there that I can't get. I don't have any access to.
I mean, I think it turns out that I was probably right about the whole NBA Top Shot thing.
No, they're still going on. They're still good. I haven't gotten a good one.
You made any money?
I don't even know. I can't get into my account right now.
Probably lost money.
Maybe, yeah. But I was going through some notes. By the way, on the 2nd of November, Charlie guaranteed that the Lions will win on Thanksgiving. I found that in my notes. At approximately 11, at approximately 11:22, Charlie guaranteed that the Lions would win on Thanksgiving.
If DeAndre Swift didn't go down, he was right.
It was pretty close.
He was pretty close.
I forgot I did that.
GB3, what's your favorite Christmas movie?
My favorite Christmas movie is Jingle All the Way.
I watched that just the other night. Turbo Man. I need a Turbo Man doll.
Always keep your promises if you want to keep your friends.
What is
says,
that?
That's what he says then, right?
Yeah.
When he's in the actual Turbo Man costume.
That's what the son says to him, too, because his dad's always lying to him.
Oh, his dad's like, you know, typical Christmas movies. Dad's like a business sales guy, always
doesn't have time for family.
Doesn't have time for work. And so, yeah.
And then
it's a good movie, though. You should watch it. Jingle All the Way. I did not know as I watched. I did. I literally watched this movie 2 nights ago, Jingle All the Way. And it popped up, I guess, on Amazon, or maybe I was on Disney Plus, because it's on Disney Plus. But there is a Jingle All the Way 2.
Yeah, with Larry the Cable Guy.
Is that who's in it? I didn't even notice.
It's not Arnold?
No, it's Larry the Cable Guy. I never watched it because I saw
that.
It's
got to be awful, then, if it's Larry the Cable Guy.
But outside of Jingle All the Way, the Christmas Story, that's like a huge one in my family, like the whole marathon on Christmas Eve.
Day. That they show on TBS and TNT.
Shoot your eye out.
And, yeah, but Jingle All the Way is probably my favorite. Like, just, it's one I watch every year.
I like Christmas Story. That's one I watch definitely every year. I watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I watched that 2 nights ago as well. I also like some modern ones, like This Christmas with Chris Brown. That's a good one. Let's see.
Bad Santa.
Bad Santa is great. I did not know there was a Bad Santa. Is there a 3? I watched one the other day that I hadn't seen before. I don't think it was Bad or Santa or whatever the second one is, but I thought it was a 3rd one. It just looked like
even more Bad Santa.
Worse Santa.
Is that the 3rd
one? No, I'm just hoping that's the name of it.
I don't know. But Bad Santa, that's a good one too. Charlie, what about you?
I don't know, man. I'm probably going to have to go with Why Him.
What? I don't think I've ever seen or heard of this movie.
I don't think I've ever seen it either.
Why Him, it's an R-rated Christmas movie with
R-rated Christmas movie.
Oh, are you talking about like the James Franco and Bryan Cranston?
And Bryan Cranston.
That's a good movie, is it? I guess they are celebrating
They're
Christmas,
celebrating
aren't they?
Christmas.
They
are. I counted as a Christmas movie. This was the same argument we got into last year. It's an R-rated comedy, basically, that's really funny and actually pretty good, and Christmas is just going on, too. Yeah, I guess there's Christmas elements to it. I consider it a Christmas movie. It came out right around Christmas. By far the best Christmas movie. It is very, very funny. If you haven't seen it, you should go watch it. I think it's on Hulu right now. But James Franco and Bryan Cranston working together in that movie.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I have seen this movie.
It's where the family goes to visit their daughter, James who's Franco's off at Stanford, really who is dating James Franco, who is a rich video game programmer who likes to party and
tattoos
is
everywhere.
Not the most conservative guy in the world, while they're like a more conservative Michigan family who owns a paper company. And like, it's a very interesting movie. Very funny. Other than that, you know, Elf is a big one. Home Alone is always good.
I do love Elf.
I'm not big into Elf. I'm one of those that...
I liked it more when I was younger, because, I don't know, I guess, I don't know what's wrong with me, but...
It's still a great movie.
I still enjoy it.
Me too. For me, I need comedy to be, like, shocking or vulgar or, you know, just... I like very vulgar comedy, basically.
So you're saying you're not very intellectual.
Whoa. Hey. Jeez.
The fights are over. The argument's done.
I thought it was just more friendly banter. I'm sorry if I hurt
your feelings. We just overplayed it.
Other than that, like the Santa Claus with like what
Santa Claus with
Tim Allen. Oh, with Tim Allen, those are good.
I always like that.
There's nothing wrong with that, and that's a good one.
I guess I don't watch a ton of Christmas movies. I don't know.
Does nobody watch It's a Wonderful Life? That's a good one.
Miracle on 34th Street.
I like the original Miracle on 34th Street, too.
Charlie, you need to watch Jingle All the Way. I feel like that's one you would like.
Jingle All the Way?
Yeah.
What is Jingle? You said it has Larry the Cable Guy.
No, that's the first one.
Has Arnold.
It's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I don't like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
This is good.
Deck the Halls, that's a good one. I like that one, Matthew Broderick.
Four Christmases is funny. Can I watch just the second one with Larry the Cable Guy?
I've never watched the second one.
The Grinch, the original Grinch.
Yeah, with Jim Carrey, that one.
Well, I'm talking about like the cartoon.
Oh, the cartoon.
A Madea Family Christmas.
That's a good one.
Always a classic. I mean, Tyler Perry, so underrated. Madea movies are always awesome.
Let's see another Christmas movie. People forget this, but Gremlins was a Christmas movie.
I did forget that.
You had Almost Christmas with Danny Glover. I always liked a lot.
Do you like Christmas Carol? Which one? None of them. No. I like the Muppets Christmas Carol.
Do you know what I just remembered of a great Christmas movie?
Krampus.
Polar Express.
Oh, yeah?
I love the Polar Express. I despise Polar Express, and I don't know if that makes me a bad person.
I Love Actually.
That makes me like you,
I like
less.
Christmas with the Cranks.
That's another one
that I like.
You ever watch the romance ones, like Love Actually?
Four Christmases.
Four Christmases. Is that the one with Vince Vaughn?
The Holiday.
And Reese Witherspoon.
The Holiday's pretty good. There's a lot of good Christmas movies out there.
Do you watch the Hallmark ones that are just so...
Those are cheesy.
I watch them sometimes.
Do you have to watch them because you have a pregnant woman at home that likes those movies, or do you choose to watch them?
Whoa.
Baby, if you're listening...
He ain't baiting me. I watch them because I like them. 865-546-8200. She's at home sick today. 546-8200. Yeah.
Feel better, Megan.
Yeah, hope you feel better. Hey, we're going to wrap up the show. Talk Sports Boys just got in the building. They'll have you covered noon until 3. Drive 3 to 6 here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. And then overtime capping it off 6 until 8. Will Stevens and Tucker Holt. We got one more segment, though. That was a good one, though. Keep it locked here for more of the Blitz. Welcome back to the Blitz. Wrapping up the show today on your Hump Day edition. Something I just discovered during the break. There is a Christmas Story 2, and wow, does it look bad.
It is really bad.
Which one's Christmas Story again?
That's the one you'll shoot your eye out.
The Red Ryder BB gun, 24-hour marathon.
Ralphie.
On TV.
Big old glasses kid. Looks like a blonde Harry Potter.
How can you say it's on for 24 hours on two different
stations?
Gets the
pink bunny onesie.
Is that the one where his tongue gets stuck to the
pole? Yes.
Okay, so I've seen that specific clip, but I've never seen the movie itself.
Oh, my God.
How have you never watched it? Like I said, it's on for 24 hours straight.
They play it for 24 hours straight?
On two different networks, on TBS and TNT.
And TNT. On Christmas Day, they play it all day on a loop.
Yeah, it starts at like 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve and then goes till 7 o'clock. Christmas
That's
Day.
Crazy though. I didn't know there was a Christmas Story too, and it does look bad.
It's bad.
That like the characters are older. It's like an older Ralph, but it doesn't really look like him except for he has blonde hair and big glasses, and I don't. It looks stupid. So I might try to venture into that just to see how dumb.
You
it
gotta
actually
watch
is.
It just to
just to like
just
be
to
mad.
Say you watched it. That type. Like if
it
you
looks
like
so
if,
bad.
If you like the original Christmas Story, like,
I'll go
you'll,
watch.
You'll
the
have
original.
To watch number two. Even though it's really bad.
Charlie, I feel like you should watch A Christmas... Yeah, it looks so bad. You should watch A Christmas Story. That Ralph kid looks so cheesy in this Christmas Story 2. Really, Google it. Have you ever you've seen A Christmas Story, right?
Of course.
Did you know they had two?
No.
Google it, and you'll be like the same thing. Why does he look like a cheesy smartass?
why is there a second? It came out in 2012. Like, that's just...
And the first one came out in the 80s.
Yeah,
it's I don't just know. Trying to make money off people who loved the first one.
Yeah, nostalgia. Playing on your heartstrings.
No, I went to the actual Christmas Story house where they shot it at.
Oh, really?
In Cleveland.
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool. I want one of those lamps.
You can rent it out, like, the upstairs, and you can like actually stay there overnight in the Christmas Story house.
Nice.
Pretty cool.
Check that out. Anybody got it, if you haven't heard, before we get out of here?
James Madison beat Virginia last night.
They
at
did.
Home. They got to storm the court. That was pretty cool.
I saw that when I was scrouring through all of our FanDuels, looking at, like, same game parlays last night, and then I started to jump on that because they had such a nice money line. And I did, and they were Virginia came in as a 5.5-point favorite, and I thought they might have some trouble, and looked up later, they got beat.
Other than that, I mean, got some good games tonight. Indiana, Wisconsin should be very good. UConn, West Virginia should be pretty solid. See if Florida can bounce back against North Florida.
Pretty decent NBA action, too. You got a full slate. Only had three games last night. Tonight you got the Wizards, Pistons. 76ers, Hornets, Bulls, Cavaliers, Knicks, Pacers. Pacers looking to rebuild, trying to trade Caris LeVert, Domantas Sabonis, and I believe Malcolm Brogdon.
Miles Turner, too.
Yeah, offering them all up for trade to get this rebuild going.
A couple fun money lines for you tonight.
Go ahead, tell me.
Minnesota is at home against Michigan State, and Minnesota's off to a 7-0 start. They look pretty solid. They're led by Jameson Battle. And, yeah, I feel like that's probably a pretty good money line play there if you want, you know, to find a little value. Also trying to find a little value at 10 p.m. tonight. Wyoming is plus 16.5 at Arizona. Wyoming's 8-0, and the net rankings consider them the 11th best team in the country. So maybe there's a little bit of value to that given how big the odds are.
All right. There's some good ones for you today. All right. So calendar days on the way out. Today, National Brownie Day. You guys like brownies?
Yes, love
I'm a big brownie so guy.
I don't like chocolate.
Oh, wow. That'd be loser. A Charlie take. That
loser.
Also, I just don't like chocolate.
Another day. Maybe you have some fun with this later on, Charlie. It's National Pretend to be a Time Traveler Day. You ever want to travel through time?
No, I would have zero interest.
Really?
Why? Yeah. What? I would love to travel.
I would also love.
I think I would
make
would
a killing off the sports books.
Yeah, man. I'll come back like Biff.
Yeah.
I would just be scared to ruin the space-time continuum. I wouldn't actually do anything.
Okay, that'll do it for us.
It's not that deep, Charlie.
Great Hump Day edition. Talk Sports is up next for Charlie, for Ryan, for GP3. I'm Chance, and yes, Charlie, it's not that serious.